The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kisser365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Mendy Stern.
Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Pei. Ktsas Mimalachos Vasuris with Shabbos. Some of the forbidden acts may not be performed on Shabbos. When we are towards the end, we're up to Sif, Ayin Beis. The Masais Vachalonis, doors and windows, or window coverings, Afal Pish, Shehain Tzlius, Al Tziri, Ar Barzel, even though they're hanging on metal hinges, iron hinges, Shenaki Allah Hasirun Allah Hasirun, it's easy to remove them and to replace them, to put them back. Mikol Makim, still, Oster Bishabbos Allah Hasirun, Allah Tzlison, it's forbidden on Shabbos to remove them from their hinges or to hang them on the hinges. Ki Hatayla Isan, because somebody who hangs them replaces them on the hinges, have a kibayna, that is like building. The Hamisirun, and when he removes them, have a kusaysa, that is like demolishing. This is based on the principles that we had earlier. In the previous segment, we discussed that just to place a covering over the window or to block the window is permissible at times, but since here you're putting it back on the hinges, so to replace the door on its hinges or to replace the window on its hinges, that is forbidden because you're building the structure back together again, and it would be forbidden because of the malach of binder, which is building, and to remove it would be the malach of sefsa, which is demolishing. Sif Ayin Gimel. Also in the Chavid of Sabayis, it's forbidden to sweep the house. Even if it is tiled with stone, or it's paved with stone, or it has wooden boards on the floor, it's forbidden. Now, this is talking about a time when most people had dirt floors. And in a dirt floor, there is a problem that if you sweep the floor, you may come to smooth out the holes, which is a problem of binyan. It's a problem of building, that you're improving your house. And your house used to have a hole in it, and you smoothed out the floor, and you made it even, and that is the problem of binyan. If the floor is tiled, paved, then there isn't inherently a problem of smoothing out the dirt. There is no dirt on the floor. But since most floors are made out of dirt, so it's forbidden even if your particular house happens to be paved or tiled or have a wooden floor. By the Akamutar, but through the agency of a non-Jew, it is permitted since you're not asking him to actually smooth the floor. You're just asking him to sweep. Even if it happens to come out that he smoothed out holes, that's not a problem. That's not what you asked him to do. And we say that it's only forbidden to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha, a forbidden act, if that's you're asking him to intend to do that act. But in this situation, where you're asking him to sweep, which the point really is to remove the dirt, even if it's a psik ratio, it's a guaranteed result that he's going to smooth out the hole, since that's not his intention at all, it's permissible for you to ask him to sweep. But if you do the sweeping through a manner which is very unusual, highly unusual, could go in either knaf evos, for example, with the wing or the feathers of a goose, the kedaimer, or something similar, mutar afilo ide Israel, and then it's permissible even through the agency of a Jew. Now here the point is, there are two points. First of all, the point is it has to be a very light substance, a very light object, that when you sweep the floor, you're not going to smooth out the dirt necessarily. You'll just get the surface, the dirt on the very top, the crumbs or whatever it is you're trying to sweep, but you won't be moving the body of the floor, the dirt on the floor, and you won't end up smoothing out the holes. So that's one important point. You need to use something which is very light, like a feather duster or some type of garment, a lightweight item. And number two, that because it's with a shin, it's an unusual manner, so we're not worried you're going to come to sweep regularly and to actually smooth out the holes, since you're doing it in such an unusual way, where it's not at all the manner of a regular sweeping, so we assume you're going to make sure to remember not to sweep it with enough pressure to smooth out the holes. This this heter, this leniency that you could use knaf evas, etc. So that is said even on a dirt floor, and it means only if you use a light touch, so that you don't come to actually press down and smooth out the holes. Now, in a modern day setting, where there are no dirt floors, or almost no dirt floors, in our houses, so there is a disagreement among the paiskim, among the commentators, whether it's permitted or not. Do we say, even though it's true that our houses all have dirt, all have non-dirt floors, they're all paved, but still you never know, you may come to a house which has a dirt floor and you may smooth it out and it's forbidden, or do we say, since the whole city has paved floors, it's permissible? And certainly the custom is to be lenient, and certainly if you use a lighter type of room, it's certainly permitted. However, one has to be careful not to use a broom with breakable bristles. In the old types of rooms, I don't know if they make them anymore, but the olden types of rooms, which had straw bristles, which were hard straw bristles, and could break, so that's forbidden, because when you sweep, it's likely they will break. And you're not allowed to break them on Shabbos. However, a soft bristled broom on our floors, where all the floors in the city are covered in tile, would be permitted. Sif ayin dalet. Layis shavshei fi raglo, you're not allowed to rub with your foot. Reik shal gavi akaika, saliva, or phlegm, something like that, which is on the ground, on the dirt floor. Avo mutter and lidreis, you're allowed to step on it, layis shavshei without rubbing. Now again, we're talking here in a situation where the floors are made out of dirt. And even if the floors are made out of dirt, if your floor happens to be paved, then it's going to be the same problem as we have by sweeping. And we're not going to permit you to do this because we're worried you may come to do this, get confused with the other floors in town, which are dirt. And therefore, this halacha wouldn't apply so much nowadays, the same way we're lenient about sweeping. We'd be lenient about rubbing saliva into the floor because all of our floors are paved. And none of them have dirt in them. However, to understand the halacha, it's being expressed over here on a dirt floor. So if you rub the saliva into the floor, you are smoothing out the floor. And that's a problem, again, it's going to either be a problem of menachek, you're smoothing the saliva into the floor, which is menachek, which is smoothing, the halacha is smoothing, or you may come to fill in the hole, which is going to be a problem of binding, of building. And therefore, you're not allowed to rub it. However, if you're going to walk on it, and Mr. Brewer said you can't go over to the saliva in order to walk on it, if you happen to be walking by, you're allowed to walk even though your foot's going to go on the saliva, and even though it's very likely that as you're stepping, your foot is going to slip a little, you're going to end up rubbing a little bit, it is still permitted. However, if you don't happen to be walking there, but you do want to press the saliva into the floor, you could gently put your foot on top of it, and press straight down without any side-to-side motion at all, and that's permitted because you're not smoothing. You're not rubbing the saliva into the ground. You're just putting your foot on it to cause it to be absorbed faster. That'll be permitted. The problem with the reason walking is more of an issue is because while you walk, it is likely that your foot is rubbing a little bit, and therefore, unless you happen to be walking that direction, you have to be walking by, and then it's permitted. And as long as your intention is not to rub it in. If you purposely walk on it and you give a real rub with your foot, that would be forbidden, because to actually purposefully rub it into the floor is going to be forbidden under all circumstances. Stifayin hay. Also in the fanais, besadeh niyah b'shabbos, you're not allowed to relieve yourself in a plowed field on Shabbos. And the worry is because you may come, if while you're sitting there, you may see a little hole in your field, and you'll take a clump of dirt in one part and put it in the hole in the other part, which is going to be the malacha of chayresh, the malacha of plowing. Since it's in a field, and you're improving the field to make it easier to plant, later that is the malacha, the activity of plowing, which is to prepare the field for planting. And therefore, you're not allowed to spend time in the field. You may come to transgress the malacha of plowing. In your friend's field, also I feel you're not even allowed to walk into your friend's plowed field. I feel even during the week, because you are damaging your friend's field. If the field is plowed and you walk on it, so then you harden the ground, and you're ruining the effect of his plowing, and therefore it is forbidden under all circumstances. Nothing to do with Shabbos. It's just a damage that you're not allowed to do to your friend's field, as opposed to this halacha, even in your field, you're not allowed to do it because of a worry that you may come to transgress a prohibition against plowing, against smoothing out the field to make it even, which again is for preparation for planting. Sif Ayin Vav, Nechitza, a partition, Afilu Hi Arayis, even if it's temporary, Im Nasis Lahati Ayizadavar, if it's made in order to permit something, a halachic, legal permission, as he's going to discuss examples. Also, Lasaisa Vishavis of Yomtiv, you're not allowed to make it on Shavis or Yomtiv, even though a temporary partition is permitted to be made on Shavis or Yomtiv. The fact that this has a legal status gives it more of a permanency, makes it more important, and therefore it's forbidden to make such a partition on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Lachain, and therefore, also Masters Mechitza Yedei Vilna, you're not allowed to make a partition by means of a curtain, or kedem, or something similar, Bifnei Ar Haner, in front of the light of a candle, or any other light source, Kedei Sheyashamish Mitasa, in order to be able to have relations with one's wife. That the Hamlachic Mechitza, as he's going to explain, that creates a separate domain, we treat the candle as if it's in a separate room. So this Mechitza, this partition, it created a new halachic space, a new halachic room, a new legal room, and therefore it is forbidden. The chen lefnei svarim is so to make a partition in front of svarim, holy books, words with words of Torah in them, kidei l'shamish, in order to have a relation with one's wife, and las esrachav, in order to go to the bathroom, it would be forbidden. The kevin shan mechitza mataris, since this partition creates a legal permission, creates a heter, you're now allowed to do something you were not allowed to do before. It separates a new domain unto itself, meaning it creates like a new room, a new area. And as such, we consider it to be a significant partition, since it has a significant effect. But it's like one made a tent, or in this case, one made a separate building. It sounds like you constructed something, even though it's flimsy and it's temporary, but since it's a hamlachic construction, since he made the svarim or the ner as if it's in a separate room, so therefore it's considered a tent, or it's considered a structure, and it's forbidden. Avam mutum lechasas the svarim b'shnei kisuyin, however, one is allowed to cover the svarim with two coverings, zeh zeh, one on top of the other. Shame as every should oil, that's not considered oil. In other words, in order to have a relation with one's wife, one could either make a partition in front of the svarim, or one could just cover them with a double covering. So that's not, does not create a legal partition, doesn't make it a separate domain. It just means they're covered. They're covered very well. So being covered very well is not a separate domain, and therefore it's permitted. But to make a mechitza, to make a partition where it's only one covering, and therefore as a covering it does not suffice to allow you to have relations with your wife, it's only because it makes us treat the svarim as if they're in a separate domain, so that is forbidden. As one separate, just a side point about this halacha, if one were to want to make such a mechitza has to be tied down. You say it's not Shabbos, one wants to make such a mechitza, the rules of such a mechitza are that if it's a curtain, it has to be tied down firmly so that it doesn't wave. If one were to just put up a curtain which is not tied down, so it wouldn't be a problem on Shabbos because it would not create a permission. It would not be a mechitza hamateris. It would not allow you to do anything that was not allowed before because it doesn't have the legal status of a partition. However, you also would not be allowed to have relations because since the curtain is waveable, if there would be a wind there, the curtain would move in the wind. It's not tied down well, so it does not count as a partition that creates a separate domain, and the relations would still be forbidden, and therefore would be permitted to put it up on Shabbos because you're not accomplishing anything. Continues the Kitzer, the Mavimai Natalifni Amita, let's say you have a curtain hanging around your bed. If that curtain, Hayim Ibayim, Paras Tefach, it was spread out already a tefach, a hand's breadth, about 3 or 4 inches from before Shabbos. Beimin hatzad, beimin mala, whether it's from the side, the curtain opens side to side, and you already open the curtain a hand's breadth, a tefach, before Shabbos, or whether you pull it down, and you pulled it down already a tefach before Shabbos. So that is considered that you started the tent already, you started the mechitza, there's the beginnings of the mechitza. One tefach is considered a start, a legal start. And therefore, muta b'shabbos, lufarsai kulay, and on Shabbos, you'll have to stretch out and to spread it out completely. Mishon nehavirak teisev, is all right, it's only considered an addition to a temporary tent, addition to a temporary wall, legal wall, which is permitted, because as long as you're not making it from scratch, it's permitted. So if it was open less than a tefach, then it's not considered a beginning, it's not considered a start, and therefore you can't continue to pull it open. But once it was open before Shabbos, a tefach, then it's considered as if it was already started, and you're allowed to continue and complete the creation of this partition on Shabbos. But this, that the curtain is always hanging in one corner, folded up, ruffled, or just, and when you open up the curtain, it hangs and folds in the corner. That does not count to be, you can't add that to your tefach, which is open. Since it's not for the sake of a tent, it's not spread out now, it's all bunched up together, so even though the bunches all together may even be a tefach in and of themselves, but that's not spread out yet. And because it's not spread out yet, so it doesn't have the status of a tent, of a partition. It's not considered a partition because it's not hanging there as a partition. It's hanging there because it takes up space. And therefore, that's not the beginnings of your wall, and you may not spread out the curtain, pull the curtain closed on Shabbos. The Spanish vand, which literally means a Spanish wall, which means some type of accordion wall. Also, in Pascha, you're not allowed to open it if it's going to create legal permission. It's going to be matir. As we discussed before, it's going to be a mechitza on that terrace. So you're not allowed to open it, unless it was already open a little bit from before Shabbos. Avol nashu here in Medes, mekupels, but this is standing all folded together. Afal pisha adayfin rachav yosim tavach, even though altogether the wall is wider than tavach. It does not help because since it's not open for the sake of being a partition, that does not count and it's forbidden. And the Kitzur doesn't discuss it, but a partition between men and women in order to be able to pray in the synagogue or to other areas, other times when you want to make a separation between men and women, that is permitted and it's not considered a mechitza hamataras, even though one is not supposed to pray with men and women together. However, it's ultimately only for modesty purposes, and therefore it's permitted. It does not create a separate domain. And it's permitted to make such a mechitza, to make such a partition on Shabbos. Aber mechitza is a reish, she'enu yoysa lahatir is a davar. But a partition, a temporary partition, which is not intended to permit something, it's not there to create a permission. Ela hagim b'fnei acham, b'fnei ruach, is just to protect you from the sun or from the wind. Shloich be'ameiros, that the candle shouldn't blow out of the lamp or anything similar. Mutar asayis is permitted to make that, but again, only a temporary. Only if it's temporary. If it's going to be permanent, you intend to leave this here forever, or to create a structure which is permanent, that would be forbidden. But a temporary structure is going to be permitted, since it doesn't. It's not intended to be matter, to create a permission. It doesn't have legal status. It doesn't create a separate domain. Therefore, it's permitted. Sif Ayin Zayin. So till now, we're talking about the walls, the side partition, side to partition, side to side. Now we're going to talk about the roof. The roof is a little bit more strict. And the Kitzur tells us, a roof, a tent, it's the roof which tents over something. Even though its purpose is only to shield you, protect you from the sun or from the rain, or anything similar, even if it's only temporary, still, if it is a cubic tefach, meaning it is a hand's breadth by a hand's breadth, and the material itself occupies the area of a hand's breadth by hand's breadth, again, 3 to 4 inches. A hand's breadth is 3 to 4 inches. And it's a tefach above the surface that you're trying to protect. There's a space of a tefach, a space of 3 to 4 inches between the roof and the floor. Also, lastly, so you're not allowed to make such a tent, because that's, since it's a roof, it's considered to be more of a structure. Even a temporary roof is forbidden to make on Shabbos. Lachen, and therefore, a risa shel tinek, we have a crib for a child, a baby. Shukim, she likes to put some type of hooks of wood. See, these hooks were like arches that would go on top of the crib. No parson only a sadin, and you would spread on top of that some type of sheet. Also, Lifrei says, so with Shabbos, you're not allowed to spread the sheet on Shabbos if you have to bring up this, because you're making a tent. And the intention of the tent, even though it's just for protection, and since it's a roof, so it's forbidden. Elohim Kane, unless it was already spread out a tefach before Shabbos or Yom Tov, to have it rakte sevas el harai, then what you add on Shabbos and Yom Tov is just an addition onto a temporary tent, the mutter which is permitted. If these hooks, or we'll call them arches, are close to each other within 3 tefachim, they're within 3 hands breadths, within 9 inches, let's say, of each other, then there's a halachic principle called mavud. Nachshav and Kael, they're treated, the arches themselves are treated as if they're one long tent, as if they're legally connected. And he explains in parentheses, ki halachah meshu misinai, there is a halachah meshu misinai that was given to Elmore, which is given orally, passed down orally from Moses on Mount Sinai, down through the ages, taught to us in the Gemara. In the Talmud, shekol pachas mishloish tefachim, that when you have 2 items which are within 3 tefachim of each other, chashuv kamavod, that's considered, quote, mavod, which is the legal term for this halachic status, that when you have 2 things within 3 tefachim of each other, it's like they're connected. Pirush kamechubur besasim, it's like they're connected and sealed. And therefore, since you have these arches which are within 3 tefachim of each other, it's as if the entire crib is covered. And therefore, to put a sheet on top of it, you're not adding anything. It's already covered, and there's no problem. Well, mutter only for someone inside, and therefore you're allowed to spread a sheet on top of them. Sif ayin ches. Teva, a box, she'akisli shenlo inu mechubu lo b'tzirim. That its cover is not connected to it with hinges. You just take the cover off and remove it completely. Also, in litlay mishom, you're not allowed to remove the cover from there to have a kisleisu oil, because it's like you're demolishing a tent, since you have the cover on top of the box, and the box is somewhat wide. It looks like the walls of a structure. The cover on top is like the roof. It's like you're removing the roof off of a structure, and therefore it's forbidden. You're also not allowed to cover the box, because it's like you're creating a tent. You're putting the roof on top of the walls. Because you're nice and tabla al-chavis, when you put a board on top of a barrel, only as a shulchan, to serve as a table. You have to stand the barrel in a manner where the opening is facing down, so that when you shemitin, it's a dafal tzad pasul, because if you stand the barrel where the opening is facing up and you put the board on top of that, you are making a tent on top of the barrel, or the tent, because you're covering the opening of the barrel, and that's a problem. Now, this halacha really depends on how wide the box is. A small, narrow little box is not a problem with an oil. It doesn't look at all like a tent, like a structure. It would not be a problem to put a cover on top of it, provided that the box remained in its place. Because then we say that the walls were there already, and you put the cover on top, it's not a problem. But to remove the box from one place to another, where it's considered like you're creating the walls, and then you're going to put the roof on top of it, that's worse, and that will be a problem no matter what. However, the definition of what's considered very wide is not so clear, and one should consult the Rav for specific guidance about this issue. Sifai and Tess. Pi ha'ashan, the opening of a chimney. If the smoke exits from the side, I mean, it's not open on the top. So I imagine you have an oven with a pipe that directs the smoke to the outside, and the pipe opens through the wall. So the opening of the pipe is facing sideways at the wall. Shastima, he can write his sefes mechitza, that if you would close up that pipe, it would be just adding on to a mechitza, meaning to a partition. Mutalasasma, you wouldn't be allowed to close it up because partitions are less strict than roofs, as we've seen. And therefore, you'd be allowed to close it up, since it's only a temporary closure of a partition. Avalon Hulamala, but if it's facing up, also, a sasma, you're not allowed to seal it off. Because you're making a tent. And the Mishnah brings an opinion that it's only a problem if the opening of the chimney is 3 tefachim wide. Otherwise, we would treat it like lavud, as we learned before. We would say that if it's sealed off already, halachically sealed off, and it wouldn't be a problem to cover it, and Mishnah Berurah seems to be lenient like that opinion. But if in the top of this chimney, top of this pipe, there is a metal door which turns on hinges, it opens and closes on hinges, then you're allowed to close it, since it's connected, since it's fixed there, having like a delos, a severus altirim, it's like any door which closes on hinges, and even though it's connected to your house, it's a permanent structure, since it's made to be open and closed, and it is connected with the hinges, so it's permissible to open and close it.